podcast with Amanda Shandy and Colleen. This is season 2, episode 1, aka episode 46. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. It is good to be starting season 2.
I feel like an old seasoned pro.
At this point, seriously, I got a new phone today. I got a new season.
Ooh, new season, new phone. That's how you do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So,
what kind of phone? What did you get?
Oh, I just upgraded to the iPhone 7. I had the 6S, so really, no big, huge switch or anything like that. But my phone was kind of wonky, and we're going to London next week, so I wanted to make sure that I had a working telephone.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, you know.
Nice. And is it the 7 or the 7S that has, like, the stupidly amazing camera?
Probably the 7S.
It has, like, the shallow depth of field, so you can, like, fuzz out the background, and, like, it's supposed to be super legit.
I have no idea. I just know that I had, like, a very short amount of time at the mall to get this taken care of. And in that time, I didn't know the passcode to the phone, so Jay had to reset it because it's under his name for the business through his work. And in that time that it took, I was able to get takeout sushi and still get back up and get the phone. And let me tell you, I was not as hungry as I thought after I ate it, or I should have stopped eating it like halfway through because I'm like super full now. And I ate that shit at 6 o'clock, so yeah, 5:45. Yeah, it's been like almost, it's been over 2 hours. Anyways, ding.
I get that. That's a regular occurrence in my life. Like, well, there's like 2 pieces left. I'm already kind of full, but you don't want to waste them, so I'll just eat them.
It's salmon. It can't be that bad if I overeat it.
And then you're like, oh, tum-tum.
I know. Oh. I know.
Gotta do the rub it out. Gotta rub it out.
Oh, I feel like.
Oh, that sounds really dirty, but like rub your tummy.
That's our motto here at the broadcast. We're starting off season 2.
Gotta rub it out. I think.
Season 1. Oh wait, not everyone can see me. I'm rubbing my tummy.
Uh huh. Season 1 started with poop it out. Season 2 starts with rub it out.
Yeah, I like it.
New season, new theme.
New season, new theme. What can
we're growing up?
What product can we pimp today that people can order through the Jay and Jack Amazon link? That would be jayandjack.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. I always forget to do that, and I got it out in the first 3 minutes of the show this time, guys.
Got it out in 3 minutes, man. Right, you're quick.
Rubbed it out in 3 minutes, sorry.
Rubbed it out 3 minutes.
It had been a couple of days. It was pent up energy.
It was pent up, built up.
Yeah. You know how it goes.
I do.
I look like this because A, the crazy eye is acting up again, and B, poor Zachy is sick. Like, came Aww. Into my bed in the middle of the night last night, and he was delirious, first of all, or he had just had a very vivid dream. Like, he was talking about the day in the middle of the night. This was at like 4 o'clock in the morning. He was talking about the day that my parents were here in February and he was sick. And he was like, and I'm cold and my tummy hurts and I am sick and grandma's on the couch. And I was like, no, Zachary, that's not what's happening right now. It's 4 in the morning. But he kept saying it was cold. He didn't feel that warm, but it was not cold in the room. Like, the fan wasn't on. It was, you know, like a normal like 72 degrees or whatever, 73 right. degrees. It wasn't warmer than usual. So when he said he was cold and he wanted all the blankets on him, I was like, I don't think the and he was, you know, delirious, talking like it was February again. I was like, well, maybe we're not gonna wake up so well. And we didn't. So he had a fever, and poor kid has a little cough, and he was like, mama, because all of a sudden he's calling me mama. So now he's got mama and daddy-o. Mama, I need you. I need you, mama. And like snuggled on the couch with me for a while. And it was cute. And then he just wanted to go to sleep in his bed. And I offered him my bed. He said no. But anyway, that's boring stuff about my kid. He's discovered his penis.
Good segue. Season 2, the season of the segue.
Speaking of rubbing it out, let's talk about my kid's dick.
Okay, oh, let's.
Also, this is the season of, you guys just clearly finished working out, maybe, both of you? Or
what would lead you to believe that, my cherry red face?
No, I think you're both in sports bras or something. No?
Yeah.
I'm wearing a dress.
Oh,
but
you're in a dress. It's
very cute.
That is cute.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, no, you nailed this one. Yeah, that's a sports bra. Nailed it.
Yeah. Well, that's
a cute I'm actually
dress.
Not wearing a bra.
Me neither. But I'm also in my jammies because Zachary was like, I was like, let's put your jammies on. He's like, Mommy put her jammies on too. And I was like, you didn't have to ask me twice. I'm in them. Give me 20
Jamma
seconds.
Party.
But it was, I mean, he was asleep with it. It was normally what? We're recording earlier than usual tonight. It's 8:36. Normally he's still screaming upstairs at this point. And when we start at 9 o'clock, he's still screaming upstairs about not wanting to go to sleep. So poor kid. But anyway, yeah, he discovered his penis and apparently he had a conversation with my parents that went like this the week that they were here. And he had asked me in the shower several months ago, maybe it was like 2 months ago at this point. And he was like, you know, what's this? And I said, that's your penis. And, you know, because we were I was probably like cleaning him off. I was like, let's clean your penis. Let's clean your butt. Let's clean your this, your that, or your booty. And he, you know, he was like, Mommy has a penis. And I said, no, Mommy has a vagina. And I tried to explain, like, in simple terms. Like, I didn't get into depth with a, you know, 2.5-year-old. I kept it kind of like, I'm not going to lie to you. Because my mom still calls it a wee-wee. So, and I'm 33. So, you know, I was like, let me just use the proper terms here. Yeah. So he randomly a couple of weeks ago woke up and said, you know, because we were like, Daddy has a penis, you know, girls have vaginas and boys have penises. And, you know, that's, you know, and I very, 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 very basic, like color by number anatomy lesson. Right. And he's saying boobies, which I didn't teach him that. Like, he'll come up to me like, boobies, boobies, boobies. And I'm like, dude. Stop. Cute, but no. Anyway, so yeah, he had woken up one day and was like, I have a penis, Daddy-O. You have a penis too? And, you know, so yes, I think I told this story before. Well, my parents told me this past weekend when I was there that he woke up in bed with them and he said, he just woke, sat up and announced first thing that he said was, I have a penis, Grandpa. And they were like, uh-huh. And then he's like, Grandpa has a penis too? And my dad was like, yes, Grandpa has a penis too. Grandma have a penis? And he was like, you know, my mom was like, no, Grandma doesn't have a penis. Oh, Grandma has a vagina. Mommy has a vagina. Daddy-O has a penis too. And he tells this whole thing to my parents, which, you know, was hysterical. Like, they retold it to me and they are cracking up. But I had to explain to them. I was like, well, I had to go into vagina because I didn't want him telling kids at school Mommy has a penis because we live in North Carolina. And I was like, this could be, you know, taken a whole different way in this state because I don't know what kids he goes with to school with. And plus, you know, I didn't want him going around not having some semblance of knowledge. He's a smart kid. It's not like he's being perverted about it. So anyway, there was that. And them telling me this came about because he was on the swings with Jay last week and he just goes, Daddy-O, I'm sad. And Jay's like, why are you sad? He goes, my penis hurts. And Jay's like, is it the way that you're sitting? You know, you can adjust yourself. So then he got his first, like, you know, nut 11 lesson at 3. good times. You think I'm done? I have another Zach penis story. And this is the final one. This is a bit of very, like, he learned the word and he's like, it took 2 months, but it like clicked and he's off and running with it. I told you guys this yesterday, but So we're going in the shower, and he's like, I'm little mom. He was telling me how the fire alarm went off at the Iceplex, because I guess Jack opened the fire escape door by accident, so the alarm went off, and he got scared. This was last Thursday, so he's been, this was like a highlight of his week last week, I guess. So he's been talking about the fire alarm in the rink going off. He told everybody on Long Island about the fire alarm going off, like, Papa set the fire alarm off. So he was telling me again about it on whatever day it was, Tuesday. And he was like, I don't know, I was like, were you scared? He goes, yes. And I know there were other kids there too. I was like, were they scared? He goes, no, they're big kids. I said, okay. He goes, I'm little. And I said, I know. He goes, and my penis is little too. And then he like grabs his junk. And I was like, that's okay. He's like, I was like, you're going to grow up. You're going to get bigger and grow up. He goes, and my penis get bigger too? And I was like, we can only hope, kid. And then he repeated it yesterday morning in the car, in which he was like, I'm little and my penis is little. So there we go. Tough life. Tough life. Speaking of penises, I finished The Handmaid's Tale and the series, not the book yet. And it was crazy. Okay, that's all I got. I'm done with my checklist.
I can't wait. We hit the halfway mark like 2 days ago, and I'm just like, oh, I can't wait.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I was sort of talking to you guys a little bit about this. It's like, I started reading the book again after I watched the first like two episodes. So I'm kind of doing it in tandem. And really glad I did, because it's like watching the first episode, I was like, oh yeah, this is how I remember the beginning of the book being like, and then to go back and read the book, it's like, oh no, like this isn't really, like it's correct in like tone and like some things, but like there are really clear places where it divides itself from the book and takes things out of order. And I was like, so I'm really glad I'm doing the both at the same time, because it's giving me a more fulfilling experience, yeah. I think.
So I started the book on the plane ride home on Sunday, and it was after I'd seen the first episode. So I noticed that there were some differences, and that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to watch the series, because I could probably do that a lot faster than read the book. And then I'm going to go back, read the book, and, you know, in my little broadcast notebook, I'll take some notes of things that I noticed that were different, and I'll just do it that way, you know, while it's fresh in my mind. But anyway, yeah, I like how I stepped all over the penis story with the most depressing book/TV series of the year.
Again, this is the season of the segue. Yep. Oh, my God. We should ask Jacob to put our broadcast girl on a segue.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it.
He's going to say, I don't know how to do that. It's not going to look great.
I don't know, but for Halloween, he needs to make us.
He's going to feel like it's going to look like crap.
For Halloween, we need to get the little wings cap that the handmaids wear for our artwork.
Yes.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Anyway.
Get like a Wonder Woman TRF.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. Jacob, yes. I hope you are listening. We are throwing some gold at you right now.
Yes, forget the handmaid idea. I want a Wonder Woman broadcast artwork. Oh my God, that'd be so great.
Yeah, I think that'd be pretty awesome.
But I can't wait to
have her holding the shield or the sword. What would be better, the sword or the shield? I feel like I kind of want both.
Both, or maybe just the lasso. Maybe we could be lassoing something.
Oh, that's true. The lasso is pretty good too. These are all great ideas, guys.
I know. Uh-oh. Ah. That's Maggie calling. I just hung up on her. Guys, we're about to add a new voicemail to our... How do I mute
this?
That's what happens. I switched computers. Wow, this is great. The year of the segue. We're segueing into voicemail.
We'll wait. It almost like it... Through the headphones, it kind of sounds like... Or I'm sure it's not like this for everyone, but like our high school, the bell system in between classes... Kind of sounded like that.
Huh. That's much better than the normal, like...
Yeah, it wasn't like a normal
bell.
Mine was
It wasn't like a ringing bell. It was like an automated, like, ding, 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 ding.
No, ours was like a two-tone.
Yeah, no, it sounded like that. Just two tones instead of three. Like I said, do-do-do-do-do. Maybe it's four. I don't know.
Anyways.
I used to do music.
So, now we're all eagerly waiting for Maggie to finish her voicemail so we can play it in a few minutes. What's up with you guys? I'm going to London next week, and my son has discovered that he has a penis. what's with you?
I got nothing compared to that.
How can you? How can any of us have anything compared to that? It's...
Yeah, that's pretty huge. Except for Zachary's penis.
Yeah. Yeah. Not according to Zach.
Someday it will be. But I did explain. I was like, yes, like your hands and your feet and your arms and your legs, everything will grow. So will your penis.
Theoretically, in proportion.
Well, my coworker was in Hawaii for 2 weeks, and her son is 17, and he got his first girlfriend in Hawaii, and she's pretty sure he got laid for the first time in Hawaii, and she really wanted to know, so she went into his room after he was finishing FaceTiming with her, and just straight up asked. He was like, I think she's a lovely girl, so did you guys have sex?
And he put
his pillow over his head and was like, Mom, I can't believe you're asking me that. And she was like, so I'm going to take that as a yes. I just want to make sure that you know that you could come to me. And Mom, go away. She's like, okay.
So wait, still so the girlfriend that as a went yes. with them on the trip?
No. He just was hanging out with some local girls when they were like sightseeing in the village or whatever, and ended up hitting it off with one of them and like dating her, you know, 17-year-olds style. Oh, okay. But yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like so he has a girlfriend at home and then he met some random girl. Okay, I'm with you now.
Yes.
I understand.
So good times. That's very exciting for her son, I guess. She was like, and I even told him that would be the perfect, she says like, and you know, as he was like mortified under the pillow, she's like, I just want you to know, like, that's a great way to lose your virginity, you know, in Hawaii is your first girlfriend, as long as, you know, it was safe and smart, you know, and consenting. And he was just like, Mom, and she's like, okay, still going to take that as a yes.
Oh my God, it is so a great funny. Story.
I know.
It's a good story.
So, and then she said that before she left, she told him, she's like, and you do know that because you guys live 6 hours time difference apart, it's probably not going to last. Because you're only 17.
Right. So. Its chances of lasting were slim anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But, all right. Sorry. Now I swear I'm done talking. Oh my goodness, Maggie.
Oh my God.
Is she calling me or is she calling us? Should I answer it? Let me answer it.
Yeah, just answer it at this point.
Hello? Ooh. Ooh. Okay, it's not. It is to us. Interesting. Okay, so, sorry. Where were we?
Shandy was going to tell us about the things she doesn't think were so interesting that happened to her this weekend.
Yes, please do.
I'm sure they were very interesting.
I'm trying to remember what happened to me this weekend. I got this new dress at a clothing exchange recently.
Super cute.
Oh, those are so fun. I think more people should do those. I think it's like, it's a fun way of like going shopping without actually the annoying shopping part.
Exactly. And I have some friends with some really good stuff, so. I made out like a bandit.
That's awesome.
Nice. So how did you guys do it? Like, did you like all just kind of swap, or were there prices associated with things? How
was it uploaded? It was just like between friends. So they just came over and we were just having drinks, and everyone just brought like what they wanted to bring. And then we all just kind of went through it and tried things on. And it was funny because Frank was not home that evening, and I was telling him about it. Like, oh, like, people are going to come over, we're going to do a clothing swap. And he was like, oh, there's going to be like naked women walking around. And I was like, it's not going to be like that. Like, you know, I'm sure we'll try stuff on in like the bathroom or bedroom or something. Like, we're not just going to be like gallivanting around naked. Turns out it actually kind of was like that. So I got to tell him later, like, oh yeah, we actually kind of all were in our bras and underwear, just trying a bunch of shit on. But yeah, it was good.
That's
just
awesome. Solid.
Well, because if you're friends, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the theater kid in me. It's just like, whatever. Y'all got the same parts. Like,
exactly.
Yes, definitely.
It's just easier than like.
Yes. Much easier. And there were a lot of like, because none of us, we all have slightly different bodies, obviously. So there was a little bit of like, somebody would try something on and be like, oh, I like this, but it doesn't quite fit me. Like, oh, hey, Shandy, you have the small boobs. You should try this on.
Yeah.
So then I did, and it worked. So there were no like, no problems with people wanting stuff that other people had claimed steak to.
Awesome.
So it was good, nice. But I got some really good stuff.
Nice. I love that idea. I've never been to one myself, but I dream to someday.
Well, so yeah, I was going to say someday if only we lived in like,
I know.
the same part of the world. The same
next
part
of the May.
Jane not walking Jack. Distance, you'd say.
Yeah.
Jane Jack clothing swap next May.
Okay.
All right, there we go. Bras and underwear in the guest room. Oh, look.
Perfect.
Here's Maggie's voicemail.
It just popped up on my phone.
Awesome. All right, yeah. I like how I'm actually taking the time to look at the transcript. I'm like, no, focus, right, Holly. Right. You will just play it in a minute. Soon.
Transcript is not available to me.
Amanda, what about you?
Yes. What about me? Oh, so this weekend was the Branford Festival in Branford, Connecticut, which is one of my favorite events of the whole livelong year. So that's the town I grew up in. Every year on Father's Day weekend, they have this big community festival that's like live music and food and people, like local businesses and local like dance troupes and performance troupes and bands. And there was a karate demonstration. There was like a line dancing demonstration. There's these artisan like craft things for sale.
Bruce was there, right?
Yeah. There was a Bruce Springsteen cover band. So every Saturday night, like the headliner is some kind of really high end, like tribute cover band, and they're usually really good. This guy in particular was really, really great. Like the band was spot on. He obviously didn't look anything like Bruce, but he had like the mannerisms and the voice and the way he sort of vocalized the songs were really on point. And they all just look like they're having so much fun. So like you in turn were having a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's just like it's fun. People come to see, you know, they build a big stage off the town hall on the town green, which I guess is kind of a New England thing where like the whole town is based around like the center of town and it's like this big green space. So people come and they put blankets down and you bring like wine and beer and the cops just kind of look the other way. Like open container laws like aren't a thing during the Branford Festival.
Nice.
Yes, what a fun. Awesome. And then on Sunday for Father's Day, they always have like a big pancake breakfast and there's a 5-mile road race and like a fun run and a health walk. So my mom, Daniel, and I, we did the walk this year. My brother ran the 5-mile. And as I say every year and never actually do, I get really like, I should get in shape. I should run the 5-mile. I'm going to do it next year. And I never do. But again, I'm in that spirit of like, oh, I'm going to train. I'm going to run the 5-mile next year. Yes. So we'll see. 365 days from now, we'll see if I actually did it. Chances are, if history proves itself, I won't. But
you never know.
But you never know.
That all sounds so very Gilmore Girls.
It's very Gilmore Girls. It's well, and also to the point where like you can't walk more than like 15 feet before you run into someone you know. And I think Daniel already hated it that like my mom and I, we go up in the morning and like to look at all the booths and we like to look at the jewelry and like all the stuff that's on sale. And already he's like, I'm not about this life. And then it like to compound that every 10 feet, it's like, oh, hey, Giordano's like, oh, hey. Oh my God. So it's very, yeah, it is very Stars Hollow.
I kind of love
that's
that.
Awesome.
Yeah, and they come up with a custom song every year for the festival. This year's was a doozy. It was really, really awful. I should send you guys the video. I don't think if I played it here, like, you'd really be able to hear it well, but it was borderline offensive. Aww. Like, it really borrowed from some Bollywood. It was really like for a predominantly white town. It really just it is very unaware of the different colors of the world outside of the town lines.
So what you're saying, it was very Stars Hollow.
Yeah. No, not a lot. You got to really seek out the brown people, which is one of my major gripes about where I grew up. It was a lot of fun. It's always good to be home for Father's Day and get to spend time with my family and get to see friends that are still in town. Yeah. And then we signed our lease for next year. So we're staying in our apartment another year. So that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. But we did find out we might potentially have to move next year because we sublease. We live in a co-op building. So the woman that actually owns our unit has to get approval every year to sublease it to tenants. And apparently, as the rules state, she can only be away for like two years, I think, but she got an extension for this year. And so she's like, my understanding is I have to come back next year.
Boo.
But hopefully it'll all kind of work itself out because obviously we would like to stay because we like it here.
Yeah.
And living's the worst.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, we weren't going to stay probably longer than 3 years anyway, just because I think we want to buy something and potentially something with, you know, more than a bedroom. But having that, you know, it's like having a finite amount of time sort of just compounds the situation a little bit. But hopefully it will all work out. So, yeah, we might have a lot to think about come this time next year.
Well, it'll work out in some form or other.
Yes. It'll work out some way or another, whether by choice or by necessity. Yeah. It will work itself out.
Exactly. Anyway, so we have a action-packed show for you guys. We have a lot of feedback that we have to get to. We all saw Wonder Woman, and I think we had some good feedback on that, too. So I also had this article, which I think I might just read the title. Anal Botox is a Thing.
No, it shouldn't be.
It is.
It shouldn't be.
It is.
Why? I mean, is it supposed to make your butt firmer? Does it help prevent, like, it helps you hold farts?
No.
Like, why do you need a...
Let's see. Dr. Evan Goldstein, a Manhattan plastic surgeon whose specialty is anal rejuvenation. His work involves tightening, loosening, and shaping buttholes with all the tools at modern plastic surgery's disposal, which naturally includes Botox. Anal bleaching is another cosmetic treatment, but it has its critics. Well, at least I've heard of anal bleaching before. in an interview, Goldstein, who is a gay man, found himself in a field that mostly treated anal cancers and hemorrhoids, with little to no regard for the area's cosmetic potential. So he began offering tightening and loosening services outside of an explicit medical reason. It's kind of crazy. I did not think that I would be playing with ass all day. That's for sure. Okay, that's the quote of the episode. I did not think I'd be playing with ass all day. Lest you think people are only ever interested in cosmetic surgery just for the shallow reasons, which is fine anyway. The good doctor offers treatments for more traditional ailments like hemorrhoids and fissures. Depending on the affected area, procedures can run from $5,000 to $25,000. All right, here we go. Here's the thing we really want to know about. Who are the folks getting these kinds of procedures? One man, Tom, employed Goldstein Services to correct a previous surgery. So he had previous anal Botox? In the end, how does it feel? Woohoo! Yes, it was a victory. This is all I wanted for the beginning, for this tiny little thing to look beautiful.
Dear people that have enough money to spend it on their butthole, please give it to me instead. I need that money for, like, important things.
I still don't, whether purely health or cosmetic reasons, anything in between, it seems anal rejuvenation is cracking. So I see what they did there. Mm-hmm. Out of stereotypes and niche markets and onto the mainstream beauty combos. I still don't understand what the point of Botox in your asshole is.
I don't either.
Because I can see... I guess I could see if you got, like, jiggly booty and you want it to be, like, smooth for the beach, you know, like, to get rid of your lines in your forehead, you get Botox. I guess I could kind of see that. But I guess I just don't – I don't know. Does anybody have any insight? Shandy, I know you're dying to say something.
I don't know, and I don't understand. And I don't understand. It's so sad to me.
I don't understand.
So sad.
I refuse to answer.
It's just like – we're constantly, like, told essentially to hate ourselves and the most intimate parts of ourselves. Like, somehow my fucking asshole needs to be like bleached or tightened or whatever, because why? No. No, it's fine the way it is.
In terms of plastic surgery, though, I would 100% get something shot under my eye to get rid of this. Because apparently, well, but cream that's different because that's affecting necessary. Your life.
Yeah. Like,
it's not really. I mean, I could learn how to better apply nicer makeup. It's not like people looking at me and like, you can't have a job because you've got lobster eye. No, it's just vanity.
Yeah, but it's probably uncomfortable.
It's annoying. Itchy.
It does, and those are good itchy. Enough reasons, I think.
If they wouldn't take my lipomas out that were actually hurting me on my rib, I'm sure that they probably, I would definitely 100% do something plastic surgery wise to this here. But we are about to get kicked out of the studio in a second, so might I suggest we play some of these voicemails while we still have a chance?
Sure. Yes.
All right, guys, we're doing things a little out of order today. So let's do, we'll do voicemails, then Facebook, then emails, and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
We have a series of wonderful messages from Lori, and I'm just going to play them all in a row. Okay.
Yep.
Hey, guys, it's Lori from New York, and I know this is really late, but I am never, ever, ever alone, and I happen to be in the car alone for a little ride out to my parents' house, so I figured I would call in with my first time story. Which was like a really, really, really long time ago. But I was grounded because I was always grounded because I was always in trouble and I don't know what even know what I did. But my boyfriend at the time was moving to Florida, so I begged and pleaded my mom to let me at least have him come over instead of, you know, not seeing him at all. So she agreed and he came over and we had a finished basement, which was the best place for a teenager to hang out because nobody could hear you and nobody could look by the room or anything like that. I don't know if my mother even realized what an awesome place it was to hang out, but we were down there watching TV, whatever, finally did it. And all of my friends happened to be at a party and I called them and, you know, I guess I called them at a house because there were no cell phones back then. And told everybody that we finally did it, and everybody was cheering, and it was so gay. And I remember I didn't know what to do with the condom, and I had just happened to have an old, like, 35-millimeter, you know, those black, like, film case things, because that's what you used back then. There was one, you know, laying around down there, so we I shoved everything in there, and then God forbid you actually throw it out in your house, because, you know, what if your parents saw it? So I just threw it in a drawer, and then years later when I moved out, I just threw it in the box,
box
traveled with me of, like, random photo albums and stuff for years until I moved the last time, like, 5 years ago. I finally went through everything, and I'm like, what's this? And I open it, and there it is. My husband was, like, hysterically laughing and grossed out at the same time. His kids happened to be with us. Thank God they didn't see what was in it. But once I realized what it was, I was like, my face turned red. I started laughing. I couldn't believe that I had this stupid thing for like 25 years. But yes, I finally did throw it out after, you know, peeing in my pants, laughing about the fact that I had it so long and, you know, texting all my friends that I still had it. But anyway, no, I did not orgasm. I don't even think I knew what that was at that point. He sure did because, you know, that's the whole point for them. It was years before I actually did. I don't remember exactly when, but it was, you know, quite a while before I realized that, hey, you know, I'm supposed to be doing something too here. But anyway, that was my first time, and it was a long time ago. And, yeah, that's about it. Another thought, I'm listening to the Siri Called Mom podcast, so I'm just finishing it, and you guys are talking about that True Companion song.
Oh God, that song.
Hey, it's Lori again. I got cut off on the last part about the True Companion song. That, ironically, is one of the songs that my husband loves, and it's kind of like our song, although we never had a wedding to really have a song. We just went to Vegas and did a quickie. But I never really fully listened to the words. I guess that makes me a bad wife. But now that I'm thinking about it, does that mean he wants me to, like, be, you know, submissive and he wants to be creepy to me? I don't know. It's kind of weird. I have to ask him about what he thinks about that. I mean, I guess the words are kind of creepy when you really start thinking about it. But that is one of our songs, and he plays it all the time. And now I, you know, every time I hear the words. Now I'm totally freaked out by it. But I guess we'll have to find a new song. But I guess that's it. I know I haven't called in a long, 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 long time. And there's so many things I want feedback on, but I forget because I have my son in the car. Oh, potty training is ridiculously horrible, and I've been doing it for almost a year now. And he's pretty 90% potty trained during the day, except at night. He's lazy. He'll say he doesn't have to go to the bathroom, and I put a diaper on for bedtime, and he just, I'm peeing after I put it on. He's like useless. He's so lazy, it's ridiculous. So I think he's going to be wearing a diaper until he, like, enters high school. So we're still stuck on that part. But, yes, I did the little treats. I had a big, you know, those big plastic pretzel containers with the screw tops? I cleaned one of those, and I put stickers all around it so we can, like, see through it. And I went to, like, Party City and bought, like, the 5 and 10 cent toys and Super Bowl. All right, it's Lori again. I guess I'm just rambling on and on and on, and I keep getting cut off. In case you were wondering, I just had a Red Bull, and that's why I guess I'm just talking and not shutting up. And now I'm going to say goodbye. And I don't know, until something else comes up on the next podcast, and hopefully I'll have a second of free time without my crazy son near me, and I'll be able to call it again. All right, goodbye, girls. Hey, it's Lori from New York again. I'm just listening to the podcast that Shandy is talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
Underwear and the conversation of the smell of your vagina at different times. And I remember an episode of The Kardashians where they were saying that if you eat a lot of pineapple, like, I guess after a while, you smell sweeter or something like that. So two of the sisters, I think it was like Kim and Chloe, were eating pineapples, like, ridiculously to try and have a contest. Now, I think the other sister actually, like, smelled each of their underwear, which is all a lot kind of creepy. But I wonder, does that have any truth to it, or is that just absolutely ridiculous TV, like most of the Kardashian stuff anyway? But just thought I'd bring it up. See what you thought about that, and maybe if you want to try to eat pineapple, Colleen, if you don't like the smell of yours, there you go. Maybe that's something that you can do if it really, really works. All right, I will be calling back again tonight. I think this is my fourth call, so adios.
I genuinely do not remember talking about thinking my vag smelled. Did I? That's all I got from all of that.
Well, I think it was all rolled into the thanks conversation.
Ah,
yes.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I think it was just like an offhanded comment.
Gotcha. All right, we are our time in the studio is up right now, so I am going to change studios. But you guys stay on the call, and I'll just pick it back up from upstairs. Okay.
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 Abrupt audio change here, but we had a change in studios, and I didn't even get a pee break out of it, so that feels like a lost opportunity. I'm now sitting on the floor of my bedroom because I don't think the acoustics work really well anywhere else in my house, so that's the one downside to the open concept, I guess. So we're just gonna hope that I don't wake up Zach, but yeah. No, seriously, I do again apologize for the abrupt quality and audio switch. Hopefully it's not too distracting here. I swear I'm going to levelate the fuck out of this and try to get it.
Making the most of it.
Yes.
We're making some sweet, sweet lemonade.
Let's see. Okay, so we had a email from Lori that followed up on the pineapple thing that she talked about.
If the voicemails weren't enough to follow up, hi, it's Lori. Again, winky face. Decided to research the pineapple question. I found an article on Kourtney Kardashian's website, but was surprised to see that you had to pay to read the content. It's a Kardashian. I'm not that surprised.
Yeah. you have to pay to use their apps. So.
Right. These girls are making money with everything they do. Exactly. Hence why I'm not surprised. Girls know how to monetize. So since I'm definitely not paying to read her nonsense, smart girl, I did a Google search, came up with this article, which, stop it, go away.
She's talking to the cat, not you, the listener.
No, I was talking to the link on the Google. It's like, sometimes like the hyperlink will like pop up and it won't go away and it's blocking what you actually want to see behind it. That's what was happening. Seems like it will make you taste sweeter! Exclamation point, exclamation point. So eat up, girls! Exclamation point. Your husband's boyfriends will thank you. And then there's a string of laughy, crying faces and pineapple emojis. And the article she sent my computer is not really liking so much.
I got it. Okay, will eating great. Pineapple make your vagina taste better? You are what you eat. Just ask your partner next time they're going down on you. What someone eats and drinks can significantly influence the taste of their seminal and vaginal fluids, sexologist Timmery Schmidt said. There's never been a full-fledged experiment performed and reported in an academic journal, but there is a substantial amount of anecdotal evidence about the way that a variety of foods, drinks, and activities affect the taste of cum. I feel like anybody, like, that's probably common sense, right?
Probably.
I mean, if you sweat garlic out through your paws after you have pores.
Out of your paws.
Your pores.
For all of our dog listeners.
You know, I feel like you can, you know, excrete other tastes from your veg. Sorry, what is the link between food and flavor down there? Cum, like other bodily fluids, is representative of general health. You can see the effects of what the body takes in by looking at what it releases. Smell is especially important for arousal, Schmidt said. We can unconsciously gauge health hormones, even chromosomes with an AL, similarity to a partner through smell. There's a whole body of evidence demonstrating that our noses can sniff out pheromones, which help us identify a whole host of things about a person, including whether or not they'd be a compatible mate. So what other foods will make your partner enjoy licking your lollipop? Unsurprisingly, pineapple and citrus fruits are associated with a sweeter taste. The internet agrees. They did a survey. It was very scientific. They asked people to eat pineapple and have oral for a week. And apparently, it did taste sweeter. Vegan and vegetarian diets could also lead to a sweeter taste. Health nuts might taste better downstairs. Avoiding processed foods and getting enough exercise would also lead to a more pleasant taste. On the other hand, meat, dairy, and booze will reportedly cause a more sour taste. Well, isn't all of this let me finish. But it should go without saying that penises and vaginas will never taste like a real milkshake, and people shouldn't be hyper-conscious about their genitals, taste, and smell. Vaginas don't taste,
should or shouldn't?
Should not. Vaginas should not. Don't okay. Taste like cupcakes. They taste like vaginas. And cum won't ever taste like cotton candy.
How strong would that be?
We are really, like, putting this rub it out theme, like, really kicking it off pretty good. This episode.
That's true.
These two. If you and your partner's smell especially funky, it's more likely to be a sign of infection. Check yourself before you wreck yourself or spend way too much money on tropical fruit.
Also,
what a common sense packed into that article.
I know.
And I think that they tried to self-correct and course correct at the end.
Yeah.
You actually shouldn't have a complex about how your pussy smells. But that's after, like, giving a whole article about, yeah, you should have some pineapple. Like, I think, yes, there are foods that will make you, like, potentially taste a little bit different for a very short amount of time. But mostly, like, your partner shouldn't be requiring that you taste like pineapple in order to go down on you. They should like your musky pussy smell.
Ooh, tastes just like pineapple.
Well, but I think also, I don't know if the author was necessarily condoning it other than just explaining the phenomena and the science.
Oh, wait.
Science, that's the thing, though, quote unquote, behind it.
Right. Just it, though, like, when you're perpetuating, like, there's not been any scientific studies on it, but there have been anecdotes, like, okay. So let's maybe just scrap this article. Before writing it. I mean, well, whoever was assigned to write that.
No, honestly, though, I totally missed the opportunity to be like, Vitamina Veggie Badge.
Yeah.
Tastes just like pineapple. Vitamina Veggie Badge. Get it? No?
I do. I got it. I'm with you, girl.
It's just like candy. I mean, it's totally common sense. So I don't think that the article, I don't think it didn't need to be written, because it was like, it could have been written like more fun and silly. They tried to add some kind of, you know, scientific backup into it. It didn't offend me or anything. But it makes total sense that what you eat, you know, you're absorbing that crap into your body if it's, or goodness into your body. If it's going to, if what you eat is going to affect your health all over and, you know, everything else, why wouldn't it affect your overall odor, including your vag juices?
Right. It's like science for lazy people.
Yes, there you go. Although, and that it also makes sense because they talk about like you could have like acidic and alkaline bodies, like more like based on what you eat, so you know, so to speak. It just all goes to show science, yay.
Science, yay.
Just call me, I'm a regular Colleen deGrasse Tyson.
Sweet. Good joke.
Thanks. I pulled that one off a lot better than the vitamin to veggie veg.
I liked it.
Thanks. Anyway, I was going to Google more articles and read them, but I think that one pretty much.
Yeah, I think we're good.
We have another voicemail, and it is an update from Will. So is everybody ready to get a Will call?
Yes, please.
Love our Will calls.
Hello, ladies. This is Will from Portland, Oregon. One of your listeners in the last episode, I think it was Anonymous69, was talking about their Fitbit. And it just reminded me of when I used to have a Fitbit HR. I have a Garmin Fit Tracker now, but I used to have a Fitbit HR. And I know it has this feature where it automatically tries to determine when you're sleeping or engaged in activity, I guess, based on your movement and heart rate. So, like, you know, if I was in a movie theater or on a plane trip, a lot of times it would incorrectly assume that I was sleeping, I guess, because I wasn't moving that much. But it also, you know, tried to detect when you're engaged in physical activity. And I bet you can tell where this is going. One night I was looking at my Fitbit profile, and it would say, hey, you were engaged in some activity the night before. And I thought about it. I was like, no, I didn't even go to the gym yesterday. I didn't do any exercise. So I thought about it and thought about it. Oh, I was with Ryan last night and we did the sex thing. so, yeah, I don't know if I'm sure I'm not the only one that's had, you know, that kind of thing happen. Yeah, I tend to only take off my Fitbit when I'm in the shower, so probably wasn't the only time it accidentally listed me as involved in some kind of exercise. Well, I guess it was exercise, but anyway, I will talk to you ladies later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right, so we have the first... Whatever, we've got the first bit of news from, or results from Anonymous 69's call to arms, so to speak. I guess call to hands, call to wrists, call to forearms,
call to hands. I suppose if you're really vigorous, the full arm.
The full arm. Call is in C-O-L-L.
No. Oh, I see what you did there. Yes. Call to hands. The basket weave episode, part two.
Yes.
Oh, my God. There we go. We're picking up a little bit more lively here. You know, there was something that we missed with Lori's calls because we had the shuffling of changing locations. And that was, she listens to us with her son in the car.
That son's getting an education.
Oh, my God. I got to tone it down. No more F words.
No, was she saying that she listens with him in the car, or that
she can't call us because he's in the car?
Yeah, that she's usually not by herself. So
as we learned, and it's been a while since she called us, and it's been a while since we accidentally called her. So
I forgot about that.
Good times. Also, her story about losing her virginity was good, but the story that followed about the condom that traveled everywhere, that's like a time... That's like her own little personal time capsule condom.
I know. I actually think it's kind of like, it's funny, but it's also kind of sweet. Like,
no, it's gross.
It's gross
on every level you look at it.
But so long as you like keep it in the container and don't ever take it out.
No.
I don't know.
Still gross.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sentimental, guys.
I save all my old cum-filled.
Yep, apparently.
Apparently. I wanted to note that and how awesome that was. Also, a lot of people defended that horrible rapey song that we talked about. So.
No. Apparently people really dig that song.
Yeah. I mean, that's a thing. True companion.
I still stand that it's the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
You guys are my true companions.
Aww. Oh. Yeah.
Aww. Friendship, pinky, love. All right. And now the moment that everybody's been waiting for since this episode started, or since the phone call came in, and that is Maggie's voicemail.
Hooray.
Hold on. I'm in a totally different position, guys. I mean, I'm in a...
Yeah, I'm, is it a nice position? How is it?
No, I'm not used to this one computer setup here. Okay, here we go. Take it away, Maggie Mag.
Hi, Amanda, Sandy, and Colleen. This is Maggie. Hi, I'm calling to wish you a belated happy anniversary, 1 year anniversary. Yay! Yeah, last week was crazy busy, end of school and such. But I enjoyed the episode. One of the things that didn't quite get to in the reminiscing was Big Little Lies. I mean, talking to you guys helped get me into that, and that was a really good show and had some really good conversations. So can't forget Big Little Lies from the first year of the broadcast. So, yeah, it seems like you guys have been around forever because you were just that good. And I love listening to you that much. I wanted to thank Amanda for mentioning the podcast Playdate with Sarah Jones 2 weeks ago, I guess. It's really good. I decided to listen to it, and I did something I never do with new podcasts. I, one, listen to them all, and two, I listen to them one right after the other. Usually I kind of get bored with the same person in my ear for too long, not the broadcast, but in, you know, two episodes of something. I usually don't do two episodes in a row of something unless I really, really love it. And I really, really enjoyed Sarah Jones. It was really fun. I've been meaning to watch her TED Talk after listening to like six episodes in like a day or two. But so if you need a podcast, listen to Playdate with Sarah Jones. I also have another podcast recommendation that I find very interesting. My friend told me about. It's called The Hilarious World of Depression. And it is kind of comedians talking about depression and mental illness. And I really enjoy that one as well. Well, enjoy it is not the best word, but I like listening to that one. I like other perspectives on podcasts. It's a very, very interesting perspective that some interesting stories and some, you know, funny stories and heartbreaking stories. So, yeah, The Hilarious World of Depression. Yeah, you need a podcast. There you go. And the last comment I have is for because Andy, who is the virgin on online dating, or and I only thing I would say as someone who is does online dating as well is be honest. Definitely not first date material, but like second, third, definitely say something. As being someone who is on online dating, I wouldn't have a problem with it, or, you know, I obviously, you know, it would depend. It wouldn't be a big deal, I guess. Sorry, problem with it is not the right wording, but I wouldn't, getting another call.
Oh my god, that other fucking us. All right, let me we have a second part. So, as we all know, there were two calls. So, let me get to that one.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen, it's me again. I was getting another call and then I got cut off. So, yes. Where was I? Andy, I don't think it would be a big deal for me after, you know, a few dates, saying something, mentioning it wouldn't be a big deal. It matters. The relationship you build with the person is the important part. It's definitely not something you want to talk to someone on the first date. A kind of a Dan Savage quote that runs through my head is, you know, you're looking for someone that shows good judgment, and like telling someone right away, like online or, you know, on the first date, like first thing is like, that's not very good judgment. So yeah. Then my other thing, which mentioning Dan Savage reminded me, you could take the Dan Savage route, and Dan Savage would tell you to hire a sex worker if that is something you wanted to do. That just was what I'm like, oh, Dan, that's what Dan Savage would say to you. So I'm just going to say that for him. So good luck, and thanks, ladies, for an awesome podcast. I have loved Wonder Woman and got to start The Handmaid's Tale, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I just love that Maggie and I are both super big fans of Dan Savage.
Yes, everybody seems to be, and I've still never heard anything that he's really done except stuff that you guys have sent me.
Just subscribe to the Savage Love. It's really fair fucking enough. Good.
Real quick, we totally, last week, we would be very remiss if we didn't wish Maggie a very happy birthday.
Yes! Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
So, happy birthday, Maggie. Also, I just realized that my microphone hasn't been on, so my audio is going to be horrendous. I am so sorry again.
Oh, no.
It somehow got disconnected. And I actually have a podcast recommendation, too, and Maggie reminded me. I listened to all of last week in 2 days, the podcast Accused.
Do tell.
It's a true crime podcast. It's put out by a reporter, Amber something. She is a reporter for the Cincinnati Inquirer. And she goes back and examines this cold case from back in like 1978, for a 23-year-old woman who was murdered in her apartment. And the state, you know, spent a lot of time trying to prove that her boyfriend at the time did it. And it's very interesting, and it was quick and easy to catch up on, unlike our show. No, but each episode was under an hour. It's a nice little neat package. I think there was 8 episodes, and then the 9th episode was a live show that they did, that the first portion of it were updates on tips and stuff that had come forward since the podcast had originally been released. I definitely recommend checking it out if you're into true crime stuff, because it's a good story, and it's very, very interesting. Yeah. So that's my Accused. So yeah, that's my recommendation. And then speaking of Andy in Maggie's email, we actually got an update from him.
Look at that segue.
Wow. These segues.
I know, the season of segues.
So Andy writes in with a virgin update, and he says, hey, broads. For starters, yep, still a virgin. Not that anyone was expecting my tidy-whitey number to shoot up to double digits in 2 weeks. I won't be writing in every week, since this week in Andy's virginity is much less eventful than even a boring week for Justin Trudeau.
Oh.
But I will when things develop. I cannot wait. Also, I chose the alias Andy because it's Steve Carell's name in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. So while I grapple with my own virgin shame, I try to keep my sense of humor.
You didn't even pick up on that. Great.
Yeah. On that note, don't feel bad, Colleen, for making a That's What She Said joke in the last show during my email. It wasn't mean-spirited or directed at me. I still plan on telling any prospective partners I'm a virgin. It feels inconsiderate at best to spring that on someone after the fact or right before. Keeping it secret sounds like adding more fear into this situation, which is not how I want to resolve this. I don't believe a person needs to know their partner's complete sexual history. I could care less how many guys a woman has been with before me, but there are things that should be brought up for discussion. Losing it in a no strings attached one night stand. So the sex work is probably out. It's just not for me, and it wouldn't be fair to any woman looking to have some fun to be saddled with a surprise project. Ultimately, I hope my honesty will make it easier. Maybe being forthcoming about my lack of experience, especially for a woman with a compassionate mindset, can help build trust and intimacy, and I could avoid triggering my anxiety. Probably the biggest reason why I would tell her is that I would rather her know I was new at sex and still learning than think that I was bad in bed. Unless I'm Daniel Day-Lewis in the sack, it should be fairly obvious I don't have any experience. I'd still like it to be a little bit special, so taking it slow with someone who understands seems like my best choice. Hashtag I'm with hers, Andy.
Oh, well, that
I respect all of that.
Yeah, I do too. I really respect it.
Yeah, so I liked Maggie's suggestion, but it doesn't sound like that's going to work for Andy, which is totally understandable too. But I think that's kind of the right way to go about it. Like, I don't think that you necessarily need to tell somebody like
right
when
away.
You're first meeting them, but yeah. But definitely beforehand, it's just good information to have, and it will make it better, I think, for both people.
Yeah, definitely agreed. I agree.
I agree, too. I think that's the right way to go about it. And I think it was kind of what I was trying to get across last week, but was doing it horribly, this idea of, like, putting yourself in a position to succeed, like, recognizing what triggers Andy's anxiety and putting himself in a path to avoid those triggers, I think is ultimately what's going to make it a good experience for him. So I think he's really setting himself up for success. And go, Andy, more updates, please.
Yes, go forth and bang and tell us all.
Go forth and bang.
Go forth and bang. All right, I will get the next email. And this is, I think, the final email before we get into our Wonder Woman discussion. And that is Millennial Problems. Hi, ladies. I love the show, and I've been listening to catch up after a couple of months of 75-hour work weeks and some traveling. It has been helping me pass the days as I approach a summer off to study for a professional accreditation exam. Oh, good luck. I am on the younger half of my mid-20s, working in a professional office, and while I don't feel like there is significant sexism, I have become increasingly aware of how I am being treated differently based on my age. I have been at this job for almost 2 years, but still am one of the youngest professionals in our office of over 160 people. What has been bugging me in particular is how one partner refers to me as a kid. While I appreciate our ages make it so that I could be his child, I feel like this is disrespectful to me as a professional. My question is, if I'm overreacting to this, I'm justified in being upset or maybe projecting my frustrations with my age onto the partner, in particular, an effort to deflect my feelings about how my peers treat me. I started with a group of about 15 others, all of whom are older than me by a year or more. They often call me the baby or ask me to do undesirable tasks, even though I am a top performer, per formal reviews. Whether my main frustration is with the partner that is selling the tone at the top or my peers, how should I approach bringing up that I feel like I am being disrespected or taken less seriously because of my age? As I mentioned above, I am about to go on a study leave from work, and I have arranged to study with two other peers as recommended by the professional institution. One of my study partners is a guy a couple of years older than me who has a pretty serious girlfriend. We have met a few times at the bar and parties and always exchanged pleasantries, but I can tell she is still a bit leery of me, the girlfriend, I'm guessing. I do not know her well enough to arrange a one-on-one chill session, but I want to make sure she is comfortable with me before I start spending 10-hour days with her boyfriend. Any advice on gaining her trust? As a thank you for your advice, I have attached a photo of my Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, from the time I saw him in person, which ironically was in France. He was with a former French president, Francois Hollande. How do I pronounce that, Shandy?
François Hollande.
Okay.
Right.
That.
François Hollande.
Well, I'm American and uneducated. Now, if that was in Pig Latin, I totally would have gotten it. at the time, they were both speaking at the Vimy 100 Memorial Ceremony. The highlight of the event for me was when the French veteran I was sitting next to leaned over and said in French, he's not as popular as the Canadian. And Francois got a significantly smaller cheer than our dear friend JT. Keep up the amazing work, ladies. Appreciate you all so much. Well, that's a pretty neat picture.
Emily from Northern
Montana.
I like that. I like it all.
Our
neighbors in Alberta.
So does anybody want to just start?
Interesting that she says she hasn't experienced sexism, but then at the end she's talking about needing to make this other girlfriend comfortable with her because she's going to be spending professional time with her boyfriend.
And but that's not sexism in the office, though.
Yeah. Well,
that's
no, but
just an insecure, possibly insecure girlfriend.
Right, in a sexist system which sees other women as competition, I would say. I don't think that you need to make the girlfriend feel comfortable with you. That's her problem. Like, you do your job and you be professional and you're spending time with, like, just, you know, your male colleague is not going to pull a Mike Pence and he's going to actually be in a room with you for professional reasons. And that's going to be on the girlfriend to deal with.
I have a slightly different perspective. I do think that ultimately it's 100% on the girlfriend to have to deal with. If you think that she's a particularly jealous person and you don't want to cause waves, and I know you said you don't really know her very well, it could be totally unfounded worries too. You know, you could just be oversensitive of the fact because, as Shandy would say, hashtag society. But because Jay, when he was at Apple, and even now, is a lot of female coworkers, and a lot of them, and, you know, if I would meet them, I would just become friends with them on Facebook, just in passing, not for any ulterior reason, or follow them on Instagram because they, you know, be suggested to me. And I think that when you do friendly things, like, you're not going out of your way to post a selfie, you know, with her boyfriend and being like, study buddies, click, like something where she might, if she's psycho, might take it out of context. Like, if you be respectful and professional, showing her that there's not really any sneaky shit going on, that should put her at ease as long as she's a normal, sane person. But, you know, if I don't see any problem with if it's appropriate because you've met her before, friending her on Facebook or following any of her social medias. I don't have a problem with, I have a gazillion friends on Facebook. I have a totally different perspective on Facebook than you guys do.
No,
right.
That's fine.
Associate of hers now, you know, so I don't find anything wrong with, you know, making small little, not psycho crazy, like all of her posts, but like,
it's just being a nice person.
Exactly.
I agree.
You're there in a professional capacity and you're not interested in any, you know, funny business or whatever. I kill them with kindness.
Right. And I think it's like, I agree that it isn't her problem per se, but there is something about just being a good human of the world. And if she feels better, like, just being nice and doing what she can within to feel comfortable to make the other girl feel comfortable, then I don't think there's anything wrong with that, you know?
Well, of course she should be nice. Like, I'm not saying the contrary, but I just don't think, like, there doesn't need to be a conversation or anything. I think it's almost weirder if you bring it up. And for me, I suppose it depends on your particular line of work. But for me, like, I have friends on Facebook that I basically don't know, like, through, like, podcasting and stuff. But I just, as a general rule, like, do not connect on social media with coworkers. So I, like, that's why I, like, I'm not gonna, like, be friends with a coworker on Facebook, much less their spouse.
Okay, so if you're friends with her husband on Facebook, if you're following him, I don't, and you've met her, I don't see anything wrong with you know, doing that as like a gesture of friendship or something. But I understand there's a fine line between stalker and nice person. But
it depends on the company culture too. Like if that's, some companies, like you clock out, you go home and you don't have a relationship with
exactly.
your coworkers, and some do. So it sounds like that might kind of be, this kind of might be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I don't think, don't have a conversation with her. That will, that will like send alarm bells and she'll be like, why did Emily just have a conversation with me?
Right. It's like a little too much.
Yeah. No. I say
step too far.
Make sure that you're always friendly to her and don't do something that you think might send off flags of inappropriate to anybody. You know, not even just the girlfriend. And as you know, you can never be like what Chandy was saying, not being friends with her coworkers on Facebook. Like you can never be too careful nowadays. So make sure that you aren't going to do anything that anybody, you don't want a rumor going around your office either that something, you know, funky is going on. Right. You know, not even with just a girlfriend. So that's, but it seems like in this line of work, study buddies are a thing. As far as the ageism thing goes within the office, my guess is that the partner is not doing it to, if he's like an old dorky man, he's probably not doing it to be sexist or whatever, or not sexist, I'm sorry, to make you uncomfortable or to be it. It's probably his like old dorky out of touch man way of, I'm connecting with this young employee that I have now. What I would do personally, and I've said this before many other times when we've talked about things that have bothered us, is I always find a joke and joke it off to kind of set somebody straight.
Yeah. I think I would straight up tell him like, hey, I don't appreciate it when you call me kid, or like when you call me kid, that makes me feel X. So I would appreciate it if you wouldn't call me that at the workplace.
I think she can say that to the people that are very close in age to her, but I don't know if she can go to one of the bosses of the company and be like,
I think she absolutely should be able to. It's unprofessional behavior at the workplace. They shouldn't be doing that. And it's well within, I think it's completely reasonable for her to be like,
I don't know if it's so much. I don't know if it's so much unprofessional as him being out of touch with what he should. I don't know.
Well, that's true. We don't have the context of what's being implied other than just like, this is what he's calling her, but we don't have the context as to how it's being.
Yeah. Said. Honestly, I love when the old people at my job call me some kind of variation of young lady or something, because damn it. I love that.
Right. Well, and that's mostly what I wanted to get into, to just kind of reframe it slightly, that some of it might be coming from the fact that like she's a top performer and she's the youngest person in the office. And that's
an attaboy kind of thing.
Well, yeah, I think some people might feel a little intimidated by what a badass she is. Like, I think sometimes in a corporate environment, it's not a bad thing to be overachieving at a young age and everyone knows that you're young, because you still have so much more to go in your career. So it might be a matter of they're recognizing like, oh, this kid is like really got something, and like, watch out for her, because she can, you know, she's got the gangplank to go and do some really great things. So while that might not be what's happening here, like that, it might be.
At the end of the day, it does still bother you. So we need to figure out how you can either learn to like, and just ignore it and be like, this fucking guy, you know, whatever. Or probably a better course of action would be how you can come up with a way to still respectfully to your superior tell him, you know, or make it kind of known like, I don't really like being called kid.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, he could have the best of intentions, like, and it doesn't matter. She's doing him a favor by telling him, hey, I don't like that. And I think that we're taught all the time that what we feel like doesn't actually really matter that much. And we're worrying about like, how is this boss man going to take it when we have the audacity to tell him, I don't like being called a kid. She can just straight up tell him like, hey, just so you know, I don't like it when you call me a kid. And I know that you don't mean anything by it, but I take it this way. And so I would just appreciate it if you didn't call me that at the workplace, period. Like, that shouldn't be a big deal at all. And if he's, especially if he really is saying it with good intentions, then he should, you know, be smart enough to be like, oh, okay, thanks for telling me. Move on to the next thing.
It shouldn't. But just in case that does seem a little, like, too much, if there's another high-ranking person in the company that maybe you feel comfortable talking to, and maybe they can kind of usher that conversation in for you, like, if they're having, like, a senior director's meeting, just be like, hey, Bob, you know, like, Emily doesn't like it when you call her that. Like, it's like some... And that might be a way to kind of get your point across if a direct conversation is a little intimidating. Because I would be intimidated by saying to my boss, hey, it bothers me when you say that, because I'm a...
You don't like confrontation.
Because I don't like confrontation. So just to give another option.
Right. And I maintain I would joke it off. I'd be like, kid, I always thought of myself more as like Wonder Woman or something. You know, I don't know. I would... I'm not going for that.
So a few options to pick from, whatever speaks the most to how you prefer to move forward. Always good.
Yeah. And as always, as we tell, you know, everybody that's got a fluid conversation with us, if you would like to message us again, you can email us or Facebook chat us or something and workshop this further. We would be more than happy to engage in a further conversation.
Yes.
Yes.
Indeed.
All right, so this episode is running a little bit long, I think. I'm not sure, since we're spliced up into like 30 different audios right now, and I can't do math. But that is it for our non-spoilery part of this show. So if you have not seen Wonder Woman yet, press pause, go see it, and then come back and finish listening, because we are going to go talk about my personal favorite movie of the year so far. And I saw me, guys, so it was terrible. I really wanted to love it, and I hated it. Anyway, so if you are going to be leaving us now, thank you for listening, and I do hope that you come back after you've seen the movie. If not, enjoy the next 20 minutes. Go rub one out or something. Rub it out. Get those Fitbit strokes in. You know that there's always time for more Fitbit strokes. So yeah, please feel free. We won't be offended. So once again, thank you to the patrons. In case you guys aren't listening at the end of this, if you'd like to become a patron, you can go to janejack.com/Patreon. That is a thank you. Patreon.com/JanJack. There's also now two places, two big buttons on the left-hand side of the JanJack.com website that will help become patron. We've had a whole bunch of new patrons added lately, which has been super cool. Welcome to Ralph. Let me see. I never do this. Let me do this. Apparently got a whole bunch of spam here. Okay. Welcome to Ralph. He has joined us. Liliana has joined us recently. Let's see who else. Jonathan Piper. I love that name, Piper.
Me too.
So welcome, guys. If you've been listening to the show, you guys probably, Edward, you guys probably all became patrons, Brendan, because of leftovers, but hey, we'll take the credit. Craig, Nicole, Elena. So thanks, guys, for joining us. If you'd like to, again, become a patron, you can check out all the different levels and stuff there at patreon.com/JaneJack. A special thank you to Molly the Millennial, ladies first, of course, Zach from Tokyo, Eckhart, and Ed, mailman Ed. Creepy or funny? So, creepy or funny, Ed? Here's a special shout out. So, thanks, guys, for all that you do. All right. So, I guess this will make it a lot quicker of a goodbye at the end of our Wonder Woman stuff. So, let's just do that. Okay.
Jump right in.
Anyway, so we decided that we are actually going to split up the Wonder Woman into a separate thing. So I guess you didn't even have to stop listening to this.
Got a little long in the tooth, as we often do.
As we often do.
We have lots of things to talk about.
Yes. So on that note, thanks again to all the patrons. please stick around and stay tuned for the Wonder Woman episode. You know you guys are going on vacation next week and you need plenty of things to bring to listen to at the beach. So before you read Handmaid's Tale, which you're going to read to for our special episode that we're going to do all about Handmaid's Tale, make sure that you hit up our Wonder Woman. Anyway, guys, on that note, my name is Kelly. Oh, if you want to give us a call or feedback, you can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or you can give us a call, 331-276-2373. You know what to do. Tell us if you've stroked out your Fitbit and all that. So, all right, on that note, guys, I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
The queens have spoken. Adios.